Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man and being a country megastar while also having seven kids. You know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm editor Candace Gibson, joined today, as always, by none other than Josh Clark.
Hey, Candace. How are you?
I'm doing fabulous. How are you doing, Josh?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing good. I feel very connected to India right now. I've been perusing the Times of India lately. You ever read that news agency's website?
I stick to the Times of New York. Thank you.
It's pretty good stuff. It's like a whole different worldview, you know? But apparently, what I found out is that there's been a rash of daring and kind of ham-fisted train robberies over there lately. Have you heard anything about this?
No, you're going to have to fill me in.
Okay, so the most recent one was on the Parasnath Express. And basically, this gang of miscreants, that's the Times of India's word for them, and they're in their mid-20s, and they come aboard these passenger compartments of these trains brandishing guns and lathis, which are like these cane poles used for beating. In the Indian martial art of lathi. Right?
Does it look like a sheep hook?
Kind of, except without the hook. Imagine just the cane part, the pole. Yeah,
okay.
And you would not want to be beaten about the head or neck with one of these things. So, which is why the people have been handing over their cash and jewelry to these thugs. And so far on the Parasnath Express, they made off with about 100,000 rupees worth of stuff.
Wow.
Which is actually like $40,000 in America, which is a pretty significant haul. And this isn't the only time that it's happened. This is the third one since May. And they're similar MOs. They think it's the same people. But actually, one person died from it. They weren't beat with a lathi. They were actually drugged. And once they started to go unconscious, they were relieved of their valuables. The problem is that the kid who was drugged ended up dying. So if this gang of miscreants gets found, they're going to be in a lot of trouble.
It sounds like it. It actually sounds pretty reminiscent of one of my favorite crime stories of all time, the Great Train Robbery.
Oh, yes. That's one of my favorite, too. That was a good heist, wasn't it?
It was. It was. That's a pretty memorable cast of characters there, and the very famous mustachioed Scotland Yard detective, Jack Slipper.
Jack Slipper,
who could forget him?
Ever,
yeah. I know.
Now, the guys in The Great Train Robber used a tremendous amount of finesse, especially compared to these Indian miscreants. Wouldn't you agree?
I agree. And, you know, an antiques dealer and a hairdresser, mm-hmm. essentially they got their two gangs together, the Southwest gang and the Southeast gang, and they ended up making off with about... Oh, gosh.
It was like 2.6 million pounds sterling.
Yeah.
Which today actually translates into like $50 million.
Yeah, $50 million U.S. dollars.
Which made it the most significant train heist since 1855, when a train en route from Paris to London was relieved of its gold bullion.
Well, it took a lot of work, like you said, to pull this off, and yeah. it was worth it in the end. And originally, they thought that they could do it with just a handful of men.
No way.
It took a whole lot more, 15 total. Mm-hmm. And there were a couple of accomplices, too. A man whose alias was Peter, who was supposed to be the train driver. And then there was a Mr. 1, Mr. 2, and a Mr. 3.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to bore you guys with all the names, because we would be here
there
all day.
A bunch of names.
Yeah, 15. But the big mastermind, we think, was a man named...
Bruce Reynolds. Who was an antique dealer. I mean, these are like the most interesting gang of bandits I've ever heard of. Like you said, a hairdresser. One of them was a club owner who used to be a boxer.
Mm-hmm.
So these are your top-of-the-line interesting bandits, basically, right?
Pretty much, yeah. And so the idea was that they were going to take this train called the Up Special, which was essentially a mail carrier for mm-hmm. the most part. It was en route to London.
From Glasgow?
Yes. It had been a bank holiday weekend in mm-hmm. Scotland, and they were going to pretty much empty the car of all of its contents, which totaled 120 sacks of cash.
Which is like a ton and a half of money.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
It really is. And their plan was pretty ingenious. They decided that they would stop the train,
mm-hmm.
unlatch the car and the engine, and mm-hmm. then drive it off.
I like the way that they stopped the train. One of the guys, you know, trains follow traffic signals like cars do. So they went to one of the signals, Sears Crossing, I think is what it is. And they actually used like black cloth or something to cover up the green signal.
Right. Roger Cordry decided that this would be the best way to work this. It works almost like a stoplight, a regular stoplight mm-hmm. at a traffic intersection with a red, green, and yellow light. So, like you said, he covered up the green with black paper, and then he waited off in the distance, and when the train came exactly at the place where they wanted it to stop, mm-hmm. he used a battery and a couple of wires to rig it up and flashed a red light.
Which is just beyond cool. So the train stops, and these guys board, and they're pretty much intent on taking the money. So they actually hit the driver over the head.
Poor Jack Mills.
Yeah, I saw a picture of him in the article on how the Great Train Robbery worked, and his head is all bandaged. He looks a little confused.
Yeah, it's almost kind of comical the way it's just wrapped around his head, and even though it was a pretty significant injury.
Yeah,
you know,
he couldn't work again after that.
Yeah, but his was the only injury in the whole robbery.
Yeah, it's true. And the funny thing was, is Peter, the accomplice that you mentioned earlier, you're supposed to drive the train. Apparently, they found out during the heist that he had no idea how to drive a train. So they actually tossed him off of the train, and they get the original driver, the guy who's supposed to be driving the train, back into the I guess the engine to drive it, head injury and all. And what, he drove it about a kilometer and a half?
Yeah, 1.5 miles to Bridego Bridge. That was their unloading spot. And it was pretty close to this old farmhouse called Leather Slade Farm. Mm-hmm. And this is where the men had been hiding out, essentially. Right, waiting for August 8th, 1963. And they had been having a pretty good time at their safe house. They had, you know, some food and some drinks and sleeping bags, and they pass the time playing Monopoly.
Mm-hmm.
And here's where the story gets kind of interesting and sort of goes down into a urban legend.
So basically they unload the money from the train, and they go back to, what was it called, Leather Slade Farm?
Leather Slade Farm.
Which is, the British have the coolest names for their farms. But so they go back to Leather Slade, and they divvy up the money. And actually apparently hung around for a while because they were playing Monopoly with some of the stolen money, which, you know, I mean, it makes a Monopoly game that much more interesting when you're playing for actual cash. And then they all go their separate ways, right?
They do. They each take their share. They go their separate ways. And within a day, Scotland Yard is all over this.
Oh, yeah.
And they even appoint a special team called the Flying Squad to mm-hmm. investigate. It was headed up by Tommy Butler, who had a reputation as being sort of this rough and tumble, tough talking guy.
Yeah.
And one of his famous investigators that we've mentioned earlier was Jack Slipper.
Yeah. And Jack Slipper became a household name over time because although they caught everybody, right, eventually all 15 guys were caught. Is that correct? Not all at once, but weren't they all eventually caught?
Not all of them.
Oh, no. Okay. Which one wasn't?
I can't tell you his exact name. Again, there's so many names, but 12 of 15.
Well, the thing is these guys, even though they were hairdressers and antique dealers and club owners, they were not content to just sit in prison being caught. One of them did actually surrender his share and plead guilty. I think that was Cordry, the guy who actually did the signal.
Precisely.
But the rest of them, actually, when they went to prison, a couple of them plotted to escape, and one was actually very successful at it.
Yeah, this was Ronnie Biggs.
Yeah, and he was not going to just
rot
in prison.
No, Ronnie Biggs had his mind made up that he was, lo and behold, going to escape. And he sort of roused the forces and was going to get his fellow Great Train Robber rebels to go with him. Mm-hmm. And they backed out. And so they were being held at this one prison, and then they were transferred to Aylesburg, which is sort of like the Alcatraz mm-hmm. of Britain. And from there, he made his escape in a fugitive van, and he was on the lam.
Yeah, he went and got plastic surgery
to disguise his face, and he went off to Australia first.
And then Brazil.
And then Brazil.
Where he settled, because Brazil isn't big on extradition.
No.
No.
No. So he really got away with it for a while, and then, you know, it's really funny, because back in 2001, he decided, you know what? I'm tired of being on the run.
Well, Jack Slipper actually had shown up at his house in Brazil once.
Mm-hmm.
And there was also a kidnapping attempt by some ex-SAS guys. And apparently he still remained in Brazil. But I guess, I imagine after those decades of you know, having to look over your shoulder and worry every time somebody knocks at the door, that's got to wear you down, especially considering these guys only made about 80,000 pounds each, right?
Right, right. And so he ended up turning himself in, and he's going to serve out the rest of his days in prison. And it's actually a pretty nice little place. It's prison for the elderly.
Mm-hmm.
So,
plus, he's got a new face, too.
He's got a new face. He had a new alias, Michael Haynes. Now he can be Ronnie Biggs again. And
yeah.
Just...
And he's still around, right?
He's still around. Wow. In 2005, Jack Slipper died, unfortunately. So he outlived his nemesis. That's
yeah.
a great word for
but
him.
Here,
yeah.
Here's the thing. I had heard, I know a decent amount about the Great Train Robbery. Here's the thing. I understand that they were actually caught because of that Monopoly game. Is that fact or fiction? Is that right?
That is mostly fact.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. The detectives were able to lift fingerprints from the Monopoly game and a couple bottles of ketchup.
Sloppy, sloppy, sloppy.
Exactly. They should have been playing with those leather gloves that Roger Cordry used when he rigged the wires.
Exactly.
But they weren't that careful.
No.
And so it got a couple of the guys. It was really strange how it all boiled down in the end, because some of them played a hand in beating up Jack Mills, and others were responsible for arranging the safe house, and others were responsible for actually stopping the train. They all got approximately, it averaged out to about 30 years
wow.
each, but some of them only got a handful of years, others got even longer. So
yeah.
Thanks to good old Monopoly.
A note to you young miscreants robbing trains in India, do not play Monopoly while you're, you know, divvying up your money, or at the very least wear gloves if you do, right?
Sounds good to me.
Thanks
Great
for
advice.
Clearing that up, lady.
And if you want to read even more about the Great Train Robbery and get all the fabulous British names that we glossed over and didn't mention, you can read How the Great Train Robbery Worked on HowStuffWorks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@HowStuffWorks.com.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
This is Raquel Willis from Queer Chronicles. Right now, there are close to 500 anti-LGBTQ plus bills in state legislatures across the country. Lambda Legal is leading the charge against these hateful bills that target mostly trans and non-binary people. You can fight discrimination and help write the next chapter of Lambda Legal history. To learn more about their open cases and to donate, visit lambdalegal.org. That's lambdalegal.org.